Well, thank you, Emma and Nigel, for worship. Hello once again. I do have a notice just to share with us as a church. I'm sure you can remember Chet and Shola. Well, they've welcomed in a brand new baby boy into their lives. And I'm pretty sure he's going to be called Joseph. So we send them our love and support and congratulations. We're going to take communion today. Before we take communion, I'd just like to pray again with us as we prepare our hearts to do that. So if you'd like to either press the pause button and get yourselves ready, or if you're already ready, then we will take communion together. I know we can't be together in person, but we do this as an act of remembrance and solidarity, don't we? It's the faith that we profess. It's the hope that we have. So Father God, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. And Lord, you said, do this in remembrance of me. And you took the bread and you broke it and you said, this is my body that's broken for you. So Father God, we do this in an act of obedience and remembrance of what you've done for each one of us. On that same night when he was betrayed, he took the cup and he said, this is the blood, my blood that was shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So this is symbolic for us as Christians. As we participate in the wine and the bread, it's a representation of God's one and only Son that chose to die for me and you. He shed his blood. And he allowed his body to be broken so that we could have life and life in all its fullness. Amen. Amen. We are going to be looking at Hebrews again. Last week it was Hebrews 10 and the therefores. And we're going to look into Hebrews 11. Next week I'm hoping to start a series on, or maybe 1 or 2 weeks, on spiritual warfare or our responsibilities. And this week I want to talk about faith. And faith. Faith in what? Faith in whom? Who is it we put our faith in? Who do we put our trust in? What is it we put our faith in? What is faith anyway? And hope. Hope in what? And hope in whom? This message today, I'm hoping, will challenge us, empower us, remind us, and encourage us. I hope that this message today will challenge you, will encourage you, will empower you, will remind you to remember who gave you faith and who gave you your hope. I trust that this message will remind us, will remind you, that the just will live by faith. If we look in Galatians 3:11, the just lives by faith, the righteous live by faith. If we look in Hebrews 10, verse 17, faith does not fail us. God chooses to remember our sins no more. And if we look in Romans 5, 5, hope will not disappoint us. It says, trial and tribulation produces character. Character produces hope, and hope will not disappoint. So today I want to look in Hebrews 11, and I want to read it, just a few portions of scripture to you. Maybe I'll remind us of each verse as we go along. So Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Verse 2. This is what the ancients were commended for. Verse 3. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Verse 4. By faith, Abel brought a better offering than Cain. We covered that last week. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, Abel still speaks even though he is dead. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Verse 6. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and that he rewards those that earnestly seek him. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. And by faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Let's just leave it there for the moment. Let's go back to 11 verse 1. Now faith, when we talk about faith, you know, people say things like this. What faith are you? Are you religious? Are you Anglican? Are you Presbyterian? Are you Catholic? Are you Protestant? Are you evangelical? What faith are you? That's not what faith means. Faith isn't about our religion. It explains what faith is here. Now, faith is confidence. We spoke about confidence yesterday. Full assurance. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. I'll read that again. Now, these are scriptures that we are very familiar with. But as I said in my opening statement, I want us to be challenged, empowered, reminded and encouraged to know who is it that gives us our hope and who is it that gives us our faith. What are we putting our faith and our hope in? What are you trusting for? To bring it down to the basics, when we think about faith, question one, who is it we put our faith in? What is it we put our faith in? Hope, question for us. What are you hoping for? And who is it or what is it you find your hope in? It's so easy, isn't it, to just glance over the word faith. I have faith for this and I have faith for that. Well, what is faith? Well, faith is confidence. It's confidence in what we hope for. And it's assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. The ancients are those that have lived and died and gone to be with the Lord. These are those that we read about in the Bible. Some of them are listed here. And if you continue to read from the verse where I stopped, you'll see that they talk about individual after individual after individual after individual. These are the accounts of men that trusted God, that put their hope in God, that put their faith and their trust in God. So faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. Let's pause there for a moment. Our faith isn't built on our ability. We have faith in what God says that he's accomplished. Our faith is built on the fact that we trust God's word. And that's where our faith comes. We'll see later on through scripture, God's word tells us that faith is a gift. But we don't put our faith in a concept, we put our faith in a creator. So for us as Christians, we have to understand and be confident of what we have faith in and where we put our hope. So our confidence is in the Lord, the hope of our salvation. But it's easy just to say that. When we go back to Genesis, do we believe that God created? If we do, that's where our faith comes from. When we go back to the beginning, it says, in the beginning was the word became flesh, the flesh became spirit. That's where our hope is found. When we start to look at our faith and our confidence isn't in our ability. It's not about what the mind tries to work out. There has to be a heart response to faith. We have to be fully persuaded that God is who he says he is. And he's the author and the perfecter and the finisher of our faith. That's where it comes from. He's the object of our faith. Yes? So for me and you, we need to be reminded, I believe, afresh, that our faith isn't in our abilities. Our faith is in his ability. Our faith isn't in what we've accomplished. Our faith is in what he has already accomplished. It is written, the Bible says. Jesus said, it is finished. We've understood through these last weeks where we've been speaking about the sacrifice and the law, and we understood the concept of sin and sacrifice, blood, and the offering and the sacrifice of Christ once and for all to pay for sin. But today we're looking at faith and we're looking at hope. So my question is, what and who? Faith and hope. What and who? We need to be reminded, I believe, afresh that our faith is built on Jesus Christ. Our faith comes from God's word. So in this portion of scripture where it talks about understanding that the universe was formed by God's command, it talks about God's word, doesn't it? God said. And if we believe that, we have faith in what God said. Not in faith in what we've done, but in what he's accomplished. So today, do you put your faith in God's word? Good. I'm pleased. Do you put your hope in God's son? Good. Then we agree on something. So faith is confidence in what we hope for. What are we hoping for? What are we hoping for? Are we hoping for wealth? For riches? Are we hoping for health and prosperity? Are we hoping for a house, a car? That's not what our faith is built on, is it? Our faith is built on what God says about me and you. That when he said it is written, we need to have faith in what God has said. So his word is powerful, isn't it? The Bible says the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It's active. It's alive. It's always accomplishing something. So we go right back to the beginning. We as Christians, followers of Christ, we put our hope and our faith comes from that hope, which is in God and the accomplished work of his son, Jesus Christ. That's the faith that we have. So when someone says to you, what faith are you? Then it's a question that really doesn't make sense. We're not a faith. We are men and women of faith. And the faith that we have is a gift that's been given by God to us. It's a gift that we've chosen to receive. That's the gospel in itself there. All men are created equal. We're all created. We're equally valued by God. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, slave or free. We're all equal. We're equally sinful, but we equally have access to a saviour. So we put our faith in God's word. That's where our faith comes from. It's confidence and the hope and the assurance about what we do not see. We can't see faith. It's like you may do something and say, well, that was an act of faith, because we understand the concept is we don't see it. Well, if we only have faith in what we see, then it's no faith at all. Because Jesus goes on to say himself that you believe because you've seen, but blessed are those that believe who have not seen. So it's about putting our faith and our trust and our hope in God about what he has said that is going to happen in the future. It's about our faith, our hope. And by faith, we understand that the universe was formed. So we need to be reminded, I believe, that our faith primarily comes by the word of God. That Christ came to identify himself, and if the word is, he became fully man yet fully God, so that he could understand our weaknesses, that he could live out the earthly life, understand what pain is. But ultimately, this message today is an encouraging message, a challenging message, a message to remind us that when it comes to our faith, it's faith in the creator of the universe, that he said, let it be so, and it was. That's where our faith comes from. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed by God's command. God's word is powerful. So that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. It wasn't there. It was created. That's where our faith comes from. It doesn't come from the process of evolution, although things do evolve. But it comes out of the Creator and the creation, God's word. God said, let it be, and it was. In the beginning there was. Let there be light, and there was light. God took the waters and he separated the waters and made dry land. Before that, there was no dry land, it was just the waters. God said, that's where we put our faith. We don't put our faith in the ability of man, but in what God has said. And that's why it's important as we go through the Bible, as we go through our lives, that we have faith in what God has already said. We can't see it. We can't fully understand it, but we believe it. We trust it, and therefore we have hope. God commanded things. It goes on in verse 4, by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as righteous. One who had a right standing with God. Why did he have a right standing with God? There's been many people debate this over the years. And if we look through scripture, for me, it seems to be fairly obvious. But do look at and study this for yourself. You know, you had one brother worked the land, the other brother had livestock. But if you think about this, you know, why was it that God accepted the sacrifice of a blood offering, the fat offering, and not accept the sacrifice of the land? You know, he could have had some really good tomatoes, couldn't he? That could have been the best that he had. Why would God not accept his sacrifice? And there's times for me and you that we can come to God and we can say, Lord, I'm doing my best. This is my best. Why aren't you accepting me? Well, the only way to the Father is through the Son, isn't it? The only way to the Father is through the Son. So you can do all the good works you like. If you don't come through Jesus Christ, they're dead. They're like their sins, they're filthy rags, even though they seem good to you. You're doing the best that you can do. But it's not about the best you can do. It's the best that he has done, or Christ has done. So we have Abel, who brought a better offering than Cain. Now, before the fall, everyone were vegetarians. They didn't eat meat. The first time it's mentioned in Genesis about the animals being killed was when God killed an animal as a covering for their sin. Adam, what have you done? Well, we've hidden away, God, because we're naked. Who told you you were naked? God knows. It's a question. Who told you that you were naked? You see, they understood there was something wrong in their lives because of disobedience. Disobedience is sin. So because of sin, they hid their nakedness. So they needed to be covered. So right at that point, the only way to cover over our sins is to bring an offering, a blood offering. And that's why Abel was able to satisfy God, because he was obedient to what God had told them to do. It wasn't about the quality of one person's offering over another. It wasn't that I brought the best of the land and you brought the best of your livestock. It was about obedience to God. So when we read this portion of scripture, by faith, Abel, by faith, took God at his word. God said, this is what you need to do. Abel did it. Cain thought that he would become his own God, that he would just bring something nice, something good, and God would accept it. It's the same in my life and your life. Our goodness has to be rooted in God's graciousness. Let me say that again. Our goodness needs to be rooted in God's graciousness. Grace is a gift. It's undeserved favour. So it means when we bring our offering via Christ Jesus, it's acceptable. When we bring our offering and leave Christ out of it, it's unacceptable, even though the offering itself might be good. Does that make sense? Let me say that again. If you do your best outside of God's best for you, then it's not good enough. Seems harsh, doesn't it? Sin separates us from God. And if it's not through faith, everything that's not done through faith is sin. The Bible says, it's not me. It's what scripture says. It's what God has said. So faith isn't about The type of church you go to, the type of song that you sing, that's nothing to do with that faith. Faith that we're talking about, that we have confidence and hope in, is the faith that tells us that what God said in the beginning was true. And what God says right through his word is true. That's faith. And that's what I want to communicate to us afresh today. It's not about us doing our best. It's about us accepting that Jesus paid the price for me and you, so that whatever we bring to God via the blood of Christ is acceptable. That's why we have this story here of Cain and Abel. It's nothing to do with an inferior gift. It's about obedience. Cain was disobedient. Abel was obedient. And what happens when we walk in obedience? It causes strife and jealousy, doesn't it? That's what happened with these two brothers. His brother became jealous of what he was doing, that he was being commended as righteous, one who had a right standing with God. And that's right throughout history, has been the same. Those that do the right thing are bullied and maligned and killed when they do the right thing because of Jesus Christ. So it's important that we understand what our faith and who our faith is in and where our faith comes from, because when trial and tribulation comes, and it will if it hasn't already, it will produce character, the Bible says, and the character produces hope, and hope will not disappoint. So we need to know who is it we're putting our hope in. So I want to remind you, church, afresh, your hope should be in Christ Jesus and his finished work on the cross. Your faith should be in what God said he did and what he will do. Even though we can't see it, that's where our faith comes from. In verse 5 it says that Enoch was taken from this life. He did not experience death. God was pleased. And I think there's two references in the Bible. Enoch is one and Elijah is the other. You know, he was taken up in a whirlwind and Enoch suddenly was no more. He walked with God. He didn't experience death. He was righteous. When you think about that, that seems extraordinary, doesn't it? That here's two men that once walked on this earth, now that they're walking with the Lord, they didn't experience death. Well, when we read this, it says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life. He believed God. He believed that there would be a life and a life in all its fullness. He believed God when he said that you'll not die, but you'll live. Now, we understand when Jesus himself brought that story where he says, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it cannot produce. So Jesus became the seed that died so that we could live. Now, when you look at Enoch's life, and when you think about what happened with Enoch, and you take this ancient, this person that lived but didn't see earthly death, you might think, wow, if only that could be for me. Well, it is for me. It is for you. There's a scripture, I haven't got it written down, but there's a scripture that talks about that Jesus is coming back for a victorious bride, yes? That's the hope that we have. We put our faith in God that when he said he's coming back for us, that he will. That's our faith. Our hope is that he'll take me and you. We can't see it, but we have faith that it will happen just as God said. Now, God has put into place rules and regulations for us as Christians. We need to repent and turn from our way and turn to God's way. Acknowledge that he is the truth, and that's where our faith comes from. It's a gift then that he gives us, and we need to receive it. But when we think about this story, it says in the New Testament that there'll be two in a field. One will be taken, one will be left. Just like Enoch. Enoch was taken, others were left. There'll be two milling the grain, the corn. One will be taken, the other will be left. If we are still alive when Jesus comes back, he will take us to be with him. We won't experience earthly death, just as Enoch didn't. So this is the hope that we have. If we die an earthly death, the hope that we have is for an eternal resurrection. So we can't see it, we won't see it until we're there, in it, experiencing it, yes? That's hope and that's faith. Our hope is in Christ. Our faith is in God. Our faith is in what God said he will accomplish, he will accomplish. And the hope that we have, and the hope is Christ Jesus, in which we worship and we enable ourselves to emulate his life. Our hope is that because of what God says about his son, and because of what his son says about us, his children, that we will have life in all its fullness, now and in the future. Faith and hope. What are you putting your faith in? Who's the object of your hope? It goes on in verse 6. And without faith, without this faith in God. Now remember, it's not about faith in people. It's not about faith in your elders, your earthly elders. It's not about faith in your parents or your children or your boss, your employer. It's not about faith, having faith in your pastor. It's the faith that we're talking about here. It says this. Verse 6, and without faith, the faith that I've articulated to you, faith that God said it will happen, that faith, it's impossible to please God. It goes on to say, because anyone who comes to him, this is God, must believe he exists. Let me pause there and just say something, just in case you stumble. It's not enough just to believe that God exists. See, the Bible says that the devil believes God exists. It's not enough to find salvation, hope, and faith just by believing God exists. There are many people that can believe that God exists. And for me, when I was a young Christian and I would share my faith with people, if I said that I believed in God, there wasn't much of a ripple. There wasn't much of a problem. Yeah, well, you know, if that's what you want, that's fine. You know, you have your faith, I have my faith. You have your truth, I have my truth. No, that's not true, is it? You can't have two truths, can you? That's not true. There's only one truth. And Jesus said this, let me remind you, know the truth and the truth will set you free. So it's important to understand these scriptures. Now don't misquote or misread this portion. That's why it's important to read before and to read afterwards, get the context. What is the writer in Hebrews actually saying? It's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him, God, must believe he exists. But it goes on to take this and expand it. Let me share it with you. And that he rewards those who earnestly or diligently seek him. It's not enough just to know of him. You need to know him. Remember what Jesus says when he's speaking about the 10 virgins. It says in scripture, haven't got it written down, but let me just try and paraphrase it, quote it a bit. There was 10 virgins. The virgins represent humanity. And 5, they say, were foolish and 5 were wise. And the foolish ones didn't have enough oil in their lamp, so they needed to go and buy some while they're waiting for the bridegroom. Now, we're the bride. Christ is the bridegroom. But the 5 wise ones, the 5 wise virgins, they had oil in their lamp. So when the door was opened in the darkness, they could enter into the light because they were prepared. And it goes on to say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? And Jesus said to them, depart from me, for I do not know you. Now, when we look at that word know you, it's an intimacy. So it's not enough just to believe that God exists. We need to go one step further and acknowledge the faith that we have is God's word. The hope that we have is God's son. And when we put God's word and his son together and we believe after repenting, then we can trust that we're earnestly seeking him and we will find him. So for you, if you only believe that God exists, that's not enough. You need to have a personal relationship with him. How do you do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. The Bible says, all have fallen short of the glory of God because all have sinned. The gift of God is life and life in all its fullness. Do you want life in all its fullness? Of course you do. Well, take it. How do I take it? You take life by losing yours. You take life by losing yours. I've not got time to go into Noah. Maybe I'll do that another day. I'll just gloss over it. Now, Noah was seen as a righteous man. He was alive at the time where there was a lot of ungodliness going around, debauchery. There was everything that God didn't want was happening. And God had enough. He said, I'm disappointed that I created these people. I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth. And then he had compassion. He said, there is a man, his name is Noah, and he is a righteous man. He's a godly man. He follows me. I'm going to use him to maybe start things all over again. And it talks about the flood waters that covered the earth and killed all those that were left behind, but saved those that were in the ark. And that water represents baptism. When we go under the water, we die to ourselves. When we come out, we're born again of his spirit. As I said, I've not got time to go into that fully. So I'm going to simply stick to the scriptures that I've got written down in the few moments that I have left. Because we're talking about faith and we're talking about hope. Faith in God, hope in Christ Jesus. That we believe that what God says will come to pass. That's what we put our faith in. Not enough to just believe he exists. We need to seek him. We need to find him. And the Bible says, if we seek, we will find. If we knock, the door will be opened. So if you don't know who Jesus is, and you want to, because you don't want to be the one that's left behind, you want to be the one that's saved. What saved is this. You're lost or you're found. You're dead or you're alive. The Bible says that when Jesus comes back a second time, that's the hope that we have. We can't see it, but we have faith that it will happen because God said it. Yeah, makes sense. We believe that Jesus is coming back. The Bible says when he comes back, he's going to bring fire and consume. He's going to consume everything and everyone that doesn't belong to him. But that's not the end. There's going to be an eternal judgment for the living and the dead. So those that are alive in Christ will go on to have an eternal life with him. It's called heaven. Those that are dead because of their sins and transgressions will go on to have an eternal damnation. It's not very good, is it? That's why it's important to take this word on and put our faith in God and have our hope in Christ. In 1 John 5:11, it says this, and this is the testimony God had given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. Who are you putting your hope in? You need to put your hope in his Son. That's Jesus Christ. So going back to that story about when I'd mentioned God, there would be a few ripples. But as soon as I mentioned Jesus, wow, power in that name. Power to build up or to tear down. That when I'd mentioned the word Jesus, that name, Jesus Christ, has so much power because of the blood still speaks today. So much power that it would either cause someone to be positive or negative. There's always going to be a response. Whenever you mention Jesus, there will be a response, good or bad. Is Christ or demonic? That's it. That's the two choices that we have. There's power in God's word. So it's important that you know who you put your hope in, who you put your trust in, because when the trial and tribulation comes, then the character of God will manifest through you and through me. So God has given us eternal life. And this life, the eternal life, is in his Son. That's the Bible speaking for itself. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. Can't be no clearer than that. In John 20, 29, then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, this is Thomas he's talking to, you believed. Hope isn't about what we can see already. You know, if you're hoping for a bigger bank balance and you see the numbers, that's not hope. Hope is trusting that God will never leave you or forsake you. That he will give you your daily bread. That's hope. And he goes on to say, blessed are those who have not seen me yet believe. We haven't seen Christ. We've seen his character manifested through his people. But we haven't seen Christ. Blessed are us. We're blessed because we hope that he is who the Bible says that he is. In Matthew 8:8, it says this. The centurion replied, Lord, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. Remember the story here is this sickness, this death all around him. And the centurion says, will you go and heal him? He's paralyzed. He's suffering terribly. Shall I come and heal him? Said Jesus. What an invitation. And the centurion, who understood the Torah, he heard about God's word, he knew enough about Jesus. He trusted, he had faith that Jesus was who the Torah had been talking about. The centurion replied, and this is what he said, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. That's faith. Isn't faith in what he can see? It's faith in what he knows God has said. This centurion, he could be a heathen, he could be a convert, I don't know. But he didn't put faith in what he could see. He put faith in what God had said. God's word is powerful, alive and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. A few more scriptures if I have time, and I do. It's Genesis 6, verse 5. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all of the time. Goes on, he said, he regretted what had happened. And this is where, when things are going bad, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is looking for righteousness, right standing. And that's what me and you have if we accept the gift of faith and grace that Jesus Christ brings. In James 2, verse 19, You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Going back to back up what I said about it's not enough just to know there's a God, because even the demons know there's a God and they shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did? He was a person of obedience. God said, I want you to sacrifice your son. And he said, okay, Lord. That's faith in what God's word had said. And that's hope that he will deliver. In Ephesians 2, verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Grace is undeserved favor. We don't deserve it, but God wants to lavish upon us. Through faith. And this is not from yourselves, but is a gift of God. Not by works, so no one can boast. Isn't what we do, it's what he's done. Our faith comes by what God has said and what Jesus has done. And it's Christ that brings us the hope, because he was obedient to the Father. I hope this is making sense. I hope this is blessing you and challenging you and encouraging you. Titus 2:11 says this. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to some people? No, all people. It teaches us, in verse 12, to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Our faith comes in what God says. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. The two become one when we look at the Trinitarian side of things, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. We put our hope in what Christ has accomplished for us. We accept the gift of grace that God has given us. But the key to this scripture here in Titus 2 is all people. Not just some people, but all people. But only some people accept it. That's the truth of the word. Not all people will accept the faith that God's offering. Not all people will live in the hope that Jesus died for. But for you, you come into that all category. So take on that gift if you haven't already. Accept Christ as Savior, Lord. Repent and believe. Be baptized. Go under the water, come up as a new creation. No more condemnation. But in the grace of God, you can stand. We can sing the songs, we can articulate the scripture, but our faith needs to come in what God has already said, and our hope needs to be in what Jesus has accomplished and what he said is going to happen. I just want to bring, if you please bear with me, just let me read one more scripture. Galatians 3:11. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God. That's why it's important to understand the Cain and Abel story, to understand the Levitical priesthood, to understand the sacrifice of bulls and sheep were not enough to appease the wrath of God. But the Bible says, a body you prepared. And Jesus says, here I am, send me. He became the perfect, sinless lamb. That by his sacrifice, by his body being broken, by his blood being shed, then we can have faith, not because of the law, but because of justification. Just as if I'd never sinned at all, that I can be right with God because of what Jesus accomplished. Clearly, it says in verse 11, no one who relies on the law can be justified before God. It's not about your works, because the righteous will live by faith. So those that have a right standing in God don't earn it, they're given it, but they need to receive it. It's what this scripture says. In verse 12, the law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. The law can't save you. What you do can't save you. What he's done is what saves us. Christ redeemed us, you and me, from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written in verse 13, cursed is everyone who was hung on a pole. Cursed is the man that was hung on a tree. The man, the Christ. I'm going to close it there. Simply remind you again that faith in what? Faith in who? Our faith is in God's word. Our hope is in Christ Jesus. So today, church, let's be grateful. Let's be thankful that we didn't have to earn it. We only had to receive it. That's an encouraging word, isn't it? Yes, it is. It's an encouraging word. In this time of trial and tribulation, it's a different type of trial, a different type of tribulation, because we don't know what tomorrow brings. Well, that's faith. Because we put our hope in Christ, we know what our eternal perspective is. Christ is coming back for me and you. Yes? A victorious bride. Christ is coming back. Read God's word. Put hope in what Jesus says. Let's be blessed. Let's realize that we are who he says we are. Yeah? Amen.